program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
So I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone, now and forever, let it be me. Tell me you love me only, and that you'll always let it be me.
Good evening, Bahamas. Now, you know, there's one thing that I love, and it's some good music. And in my home, played the very best music, Jerry Butler, Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, The Temptations. And we grew up on old music. And so the music for the show this evening is dedicated to my mom. The topic for this evening is one that hits very, 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 very close to home. We're talking this evening about grief. Good evening and welcome to Kenny's Corner here on Guardian Radio 96.5. I'm your host, Kendenik Delavaux, and tonight's conversation is extremely personal. So I would have buried my mother, and I realized that what I'm experiencing is more than grief. It is trauma, it is pain, it is difficult to explain, and I'm still searching for the words, the right words. The hardest part wasn't the funeral. It was walking out of the Roman Catholic cemetery and leaving my mother there. Despite everything we went through, she was still my mother. And that moment broke something inside of me. I realized that it broke something inside of me when I went to Bay Street that very first Christmas and I looked to the east and I didn't see her sitting there in her red beret. And I realized that nothing would ever really be the same. There would be no more Sunday dinners. There'd be no more getting cussed out from I get to the front door asking me what I come here for again. There would be no me saying, "Mommy, make the corn and rice for me." And her saying, "Ain't no corn." But if I called my brother and said, "Donovan, call Mommy and tell Mommy you want the corn and rice," it would be made. If you're grieving, please don't let anyone convince you to just be strong. They are the silliest words that I've ever heard. Those may be the worst words that you can say to someone that is carrying deep loss. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to ask for help. Healing begins when we stop pretending we're okay, and I pretend that I'm okay so very well. On Monday of last week, I took my mother fresh flowers. She likes white flowers. And Thursday, I went back and I realized that the sun had demolished them. And you realize in that moment, am I the only person that comes to the Roman Catholic Cemetery? Because you see people going and coming, and sometimes the gate is locked. But it was just myself and the workers, and they know me so well. They say, "Hey, boss lady, you reached there." I say, "Yes." And we have conversation, and I talk to Mommy for a few minutes. But healing begins when we stop pretending we're okay. So tonight, I'm honored to welcome Tiska Moss, host of Motherless Mothers podcast. Through her platform, she has given countless people a safe space to navigate the pain of losing a mother while finding hope and healing along the way. Tisca, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me, Kendanique.
I am so honored to have you here with me.
It's my pleasure.
Thank my listening audience. Please welcome our guest. Now, I want you to tell the people who you are and tell them about your son that just swim the whole Olympics and win the whole Olympics for everybody, right? But talk to us and tell us who you are and tell us why you started the podcast. Tell us, talk to us.
Okay. So as you said, I'm Tisca Moss. I am a wife. I'm a mother of two. I am a swim mom, as you mentioned, and I am an entrepreneur as well as a podcast host. So the biggest thing in all that I said would be that swim mom. My son is a proud member of the Bahamas Goodwill team, so we're headed to Trinidad. My baby's only seven, well, he just turned eight, so he's one of the youngest members on the team, and we're excited about it. So why I started the podcast. So my dad died in 2015, and those that know me well know that I was a daddy's girl. Like, me and daddy were tight. I was his right hand.
Right.
But at the time when he passed, I was single, I was childless. So I was free to grieve, just as a daughter.
Right.
So my mom, she passed 5 years later.
Right.
However, at that time, I was a wife, and I was a mother of a two-year-old son.
Right.
And that totally changed the grieving experience, because I was no longer free to simply just grieve as a daughter. I still had to be someone's mother. I still had to be someone's wife.
Right.
So for me, I started journaling. And a lot of what I talk about in the podcast now would be journal entries that I didn't think that I would share with anyone.
Okay.
And over time, God was telling me, you know, Tish, release it. Talk. And I was like, but I still need help. Like, what am I to say to anybody when on most days I don't even know what I'm feeling?
Right.
And he didn't leave me alone. You know, he's patient because he knows we're stubborn. And eventually I said, you know what? Okay, I'll do it. And so the first episode that I wrote, I was like, okay, I'm just going to get through this first episode. And because I remember messaging you and I'm like, Kenny, I have this thing on my heart. I'm going to record it. You tell me what you think.
Yes.
And when I sent it to you and you confirmed that, you know, Tisca, this spoke to me, I resonated with it. I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. Because for me, I didn't want it to be a podcast where it was sad every week.
Right.
Because while I miss my mother every single day, every day it's not sad. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes I think about something funny that she would have said, or if she was here, like what we'd be doing. So it's not always sad. So I try to make the podcast a nice mix, because I don't want people to be sorrowful every single week when they tune in.
I don't know that I have gotten to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when I think about what would mommy say?
Yeah.
And my mother was never at a loss for words.
Right.
And some of her words were multifaceted, if I may say so, right? And so I have to be very cautious in how I think about what she would have said. But as an adult and as a mother who is motherless,
mm-hmm.
and you have a girl daughter, what do you think is your biggest grief factor? Do you think it's grieving over the loss of the mom, or grieving over the loss of what you thought your mothering and daughtering relationship would be like?
It's both of those, but it's even more than that. It's grieving the person I was before she passed.
Mm.
Because every time you lose someone close like that, you're never the same.
No, you're not.
So I'm grieving that person, that Tisca that was there before her death. I'm also grieving the grandmother relationship that my children don't get to enjoy.
Correct.
So
I think for me, I'm grieving. Mommy was alive when and I was born, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we had mommy for a very long time.
Right.
And some of the things that mommy would have said stick to me and resonate to this day. Kenra, when you're traveling, hold an eye hand.
That's it.
Kenra, I want an eye to graduate from Xavier's. Kenra, make sure you take care of an eye.
Yes.
Kenra, don't be on these people's job and don't see an eye run across. Okay, mommy, I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes.
Because when we were growing up, mommy made all the sacrifices for us.
Right.
And do you see that you as the mother, that you are now making the sacrifices?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. If someone would have told me 10 years ago that I would be where I am, making the sacrifices that I'm making for my family, I would have laughed in their face and said, definitely not. No. Absolutely not.
Really?
Absolutely not.
Now, we have so many questions. The emails and the text messages, they came flooding in because I realized that there are so many people that are motherless and they're navigating grief, but they're not only navigating grief, they're navigating trauma, they're navigating menopause, perimenopause, mm-hmm. divorce, friendship loss.
Yes.
And so we have to go through a multitude of things in our lives.
Yes.
This one question reads, losing a mother is one of the deepest pains many people experience. What does that first season of grief really feel like, especially when the world seems to keep moving, but your life feels like it has stopped? Because when somebody passes, life still goes on.
Yes.
But it stops for you.
Correct.
So what does that feel like for you?
So for me, like I said, so comparing my parents' loss with daddy, it was a totally different experience. Whereas with my son, he needed his Milky. He didn't care that I was sad. He wanted to breastfeed. So it was a totally different experience for me. And then too, my mom died in the pandemic. So that made it even worse because people couldn't even come around.
So you managed that process in a singular atmosphere.
Yes. Yes. It was, as I thought about it last night, I'm like, you know, that alone was very traumatic because grieving is normally a community event. But at that point, we weren't allowed to get together. We couldn't have a repass.
It wasn't communal.
No.
This message on Facebook reads, it's been 6 years since my daddy passed, and I have still not admitted it to myself. Hold on. It's been 6 years since my daddy passed, and I have still not myself, if that makes sense. It makes sense to my text, to my Facebook family. It makes sense. I sometimes, you know, when you know that mommy is gone, right? And you almost go to call.
Yes. Yes.
Do you go to call?
Yes, ma'am.
Or things that happen in your life and you say, mommy would have...
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen with
it
you?
It does. It
so
does.
So to my Facebook texter, it does make perfect sense.
It does.
And if that's how you manage your grief, then you are well within your right.
Agreed.
This next text reads, for someone who just lost their mother and feels completely broken, for someone who has just lost their mother and feels completely broken, where do they even begin to process healing? People often say time heals, but for someone grieving, that can feel impossible to believe. Does grief ever truly go away, or do we learn how to carry it differently?
Grief never goes away. It does not. It will always be in the room with us. I like to say that grief, when it first happens, it occupies the entire room. But as you continue going, the room gets bigger. It's not that the grief shrinks. The grief stays there. But the room gets bigger to allow a little bit of joy every once in a while, a little bit of laughter, a little bit. But you carry it with you. And while grief is universal, it's also very unique because you and your brother had the same mother, but y'all have two totally different grief journeys.
We have two totally different grief journeys because I see how Donovan conceptualizes. Like Saturday, I had something to do and I saw my brother calling me repeatedly, but I was working.
Right.
And then when I was done working, I went to breakfast with some girlfriends
mm-hmm.
and he was still calling. And I answered, I said, Donnie, what happened? He said, I calling you. I need you for something. So I said, well, what is it?
Right.
He said, I have to get some toilet seats for my bathrooms.
Right.
What you suggest? I said, tell me what you need. So he said, well, I need you to answer because it ain't like I have a mother who could help me answer the question.
That's it.
But I'm thinking in my mind, but you have a girlfriend. And I dare not say that to him.
Correct.
But I'm thinking that in my mind. I
Correct.
Said, Donnie, show me what you want to show me. And I showed it to him and then his temperature just dropped.
Correct.
He said, you think I should get this? I said, yes, Donovan, I think you should get that. But it's in the small things that you realize that your mother is gone. It's in picking the turkey for Christmas.
Correct.
It's in not having the Christmas dinner.
Correct.
And it's in grieving. I always thought, right, for me, that I wanted a mom like Little House on the Prairie, like Laura Ingalls' mom.
Uh-huh.
But I got the Roseanne Barr mom, right? And and that's just my reality.
Yes.
And as I realize it and I think about it and I process it, I realize that my mother was the way she was so that I can be the way that I am.
Correct.
And I make no apologies. My mom always said, when you go to someplace, you never sit in the back of the room.
That's right.
You walk straight to the front. Mm-hmm. Don't go to church late because you just go everywhere on time. Don't be to church late. Mm-hmm. And so these are the things that you carry with you, right?
Yes.
And so the grief process, people say, oh, be strong. I mean, what type of stupidness is that?
I
think that's the stupidest thing to ever say to someone.
That, and I also don't like the time heals or but everything happens for a reason, or and I know people are saying it from a place of love.
I don't like it though.
But it's not appropriate to say to someone that's grieving. I find that it's better to just be there. Your presence is more important than trying to find the right words, because there are no words.
There are no words.
So just sit there. Sit there in the silence with whoever is grieving. If they want to talk, then engage. If they don't, just sit there. But don't feel like you have to come up with something profound to say, especially if your mother is still alive.
Can I tell you, I feel a strange urge of jealousy when I see people with their mothers.
Oh, yes.
I feel almost angry.
Yes.
And I say, I didn't get that opportunity with mommy, because while mommy wanted us to travel and to do things, mommy will never have the opportunity of us being in, and I know this is very trivial, may sound trivial to some people, right? Mm-hmm. But mommy will never have the opportunity to see and I walk in New York along
Correct.
Broadway.
Yes.
Or mommy will never be with us in Walmart to say, oh, well, can we go in the car, get your things? Or like, she will never have that opportunity.
Yes.
And I wonder if mommy understands doing my very best.
Yes.
And when we talk about grief, right? When you think about grief and people say, oh, I wish I knew this and I wish I knew that. Texter has asked, how do you go from feeling you should have done something, knowing it's already, the time has passed? How do you feel about that?
Well, guilt is a very common companion of grief. You know, you replay all the things that you wish you could have done, that you should have said. But I feel like it's better to measure your relationship with the person over the lifetime of that relationship, as opposed to just little chapters that we're looking at. Because once the person is gone, we tend to get fixated on what didn't happen, what we didn't do, as opposed to all that you did. Because at this point, there's nothing more you can do. You can't go back.
You can't change it. You cannot.
Just rehashing it is only torturing yourself, because there's nothing that you could do at this point to change it.
This question here is, let me read this question for you. This question reads, what happens when the weight of grief becomes so heavy that it affects your marriage, your partnership, or even causes the end of your own relationship?
I would suggest, if it gets to that point, to seek professional help. And there's no shame in it. There's no shame in it at all, because everyone's grief journey is different. Just because you and I have lost our mother, someone else could lose theirs, and it's a totally different experience. We have no idea what they're going through.
You really don't.
You have no clue.
But you see people going every day, and you don't have an idea what
exactly.
they're going through either.
Exactly.
You said you use the word, mommy's been gone almost 2 years for me, right?
Yeah.
And I don't use the word, the D word.
Okay.
I say mommy left.
She passed or.
I say left or passed, but I've never said the D word.
Yeah.
Do you say the D word?
I can say it now.
How long did it take you?
Years. And there are some parts of grief where I feel like I'm a little further ahead than others.
Right.
Because like I said, my mom died in the pandemic. Her clothes are still in the house.
Really?
Still in the house. The shoes, dry rot. No one can use them, but they're still there.
So do you think that it's a process for you to move them?
Yep. So whereas I know others, like there are some members in my family, like they haven't gone back to church.
I haven't.
Since she passed, they have not been able to to go back?
The last time I went to St. Paul's, because my parents live down there, my mom sat in the back on the right-hand side, right? And I have not been in St. Paul's since we had the memorial. I've been in the churchyard,
right?
But I've not been inside of church.
Yeah.
I have not even passed the where Father Kenny used to live, because Father Kenny had invited my family and I to come and sit and go over how we would do the other service for the mass.
Right.
And I have not been anywhere, not even close to Father Kenny's step. But of course, he's at the Vatican now, but I've not been anywhere near there.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if I'm ready to say the D word.
Yeah. You'll know when you are. If you're not there yet, and one thing with grief, there's no timeline. Don't allow anyone to rush you and say, well, oh, she's been gone now 2 years. You should be. No.
No.
No, you shouldn't.
No.
You take your time.
I will take your advice. I will absolutely take your advice. This is another question. For someone carrying the weight of a secret after losing their mother, how do they forgive themselves and find peace when they keep replaying the thought, what if I did tell her? What if, Texter, you have to, I need you to tell me, what if you did tell her what? What if you told her you loved her? I don't understand the question, but if you can text me back and tell me what you're speaking of specifically, then we can have a better answer for you. How did you know when you were, this question reads, how did you know when you were ready to talk about your mom? Was there a moment that you realized you could share her story, your grief, and your journey with others?
I can't recall the exact moment, but I have always been someone that enjoyed writing. So I've kept a diary from like grade 5. So writing has always been very therapeutic for me. But to actually start speaking it, I can't say exactly when that happened, but it was gradual. It wasn't anything that happened quickly, because like you said, so she died during the pandemic. Here it is, I'm with my son, and then shortly after she passed, I got pregnant with my daughter. I'm one of what they call them geriatric mothers, so I started later. It's like you're in postpartum, perimenopause, losing your mommy. Like, it was a lot happening at once.
And I had gotten a divorce
right
at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a lot happening at once. So it took a while.
It took a while
for me to be able to say.
We have some callers on the line. Chris, yes. Good evening, caller. You're on.
The greatest Chokanu lady in the world.
Hi. Good evening. How are you?
Next to Miss Eileen Nash Ferguson.
Thank you.
Listen to me and to your guest.
Yes, sir.
I am here waiting on my ride, but I say, boy, I had to call.
Thank you.
Y'all are talking about the death of your mom.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
This year would make me 8 years since my mom died.
Yes, sir.
December 21st. But this year would make 11 years since my wife died. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because when my wife had died, about 2 years, 3 years later, and anyhow, 6 months after my wife died, my mommy wanted me to come back home to live.
Right.
And I just stench. And I'm not going to get some flack for this, but I got to say it because this is the way I feel. I always felt like I missed my mom more than I missed my wife. Because even though my mother lived like 3 years after my wife already died, I could have then get married again if I wanted to.
Right.
So I could have get an ex-wife. When my mother gone, but that's my mother, she gone. I gotta get a more mother.
Absolutely.
You know, but I remember what the pastor said, forsaking all other. And, you know, taking it with your wife. But, boy, your wife could replay. I know some people that are three wives. and they only had one mother.
That's it.
You know, boy, there's no love in the world like a mother's love.
There's none.
And I just tell you, they're... even 8 years, I still sit down sometimes and catch myself just thinking about my mother. And I don't like to do it because they say big men don't cry, but I cry.
Understood.
To know the goodness what my mother did. I met my father when I was 26.
Wow.
So my mother did everything for me.
Understood.
But y'all making me sad talking, but I got to go. I hope my ride soon come.
Don't be sad, man.
No, man, but I mean, you know, it's just some things. Like the lady told you, Don't let nobody tell you when to stop grieving.
Right.
Because nobody know the connection with you and your mom. Me and my mommy had six sons.
Yes.
I was my mother's only son who stayed in Nassau with her. Wow. Five of my brothers went to Grand Bahama to live.
Okay.
I was the only one ever stayed here with her.
So you had a...
And I'm the last of the nine children.
Oh, you had a totally different connection then.
Yeah. I'm the last.
Absolutely.
I am the last, so...
Understood.
You know, and then me and I was always... You know, it's always close.
Absolutely, I understand. But thank you so much for calling. Yeah, don't forget to pray for me when you go to Mass, to church now. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Do we have another caller, Chris? Good evening, caller, you're on. Hello? We may have lost our caller. We're going to take a very quick break. You're listening to Kendanik Delavaux here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day.
When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. I guess you've said, what can make me feel this way? My girl, talking about
be ready with Duracell. Be ready when the power goes out this hurricane season with Duracell, the battery that lasts up to 10 times longer. Purchase your Duracell batteries at your local neighborhood stores, service stations, and all major retailers. Distributed by ACH Pritchard Limited. So, be ready with Duracell.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube, Radio 96.9 FM, or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
There's a new Duracell battery with a great new look and now formulated to last even longer. So now you can think even less about batteries and so can Duracell Bunny. Duracell lasts longer, much longer. Duracell distributed by Ace Pritchard Limited. Duracell wants to assure the Bahamas that we are here with you during these challenging times and you can trust us with all your household and portable power needs.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For that's what love will do.
Good evening, Bahamas. Good evening, Bahamas. You're listening to Kennedy Delevo here on Guardian Radio 96.9. And we're talking about grief. We're here with the podcaster. And we're talking with Tishka, and she's giving us some insight on what it means to grieve and how she was able to take her pain and her grief and turn it into something that could possibly help others. But I want to ask some more questions that came in from our text line. Mm-hmm. And I also want to add a gentle reminder, because some of the text messages are extremely heavy. And I want to add a gentle reminder that if anyone is listening and they feel like they want to harm themselves or they cannot stay safe, that they should reach out immediately to a trusted person or a crisis support line for emergency services. These conversations that we have can be life-saving when handled with care. And I think that we will be able to get through them if we have the real conversation.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Well, this question reads, and I'm not sure this is necessarily for you, but this is a question nonetheless. How do you process the pain and guilt of knowing your mother may have passed with a broken heart, especially if you believe stress, betrayal, or your father's infidelity played a role and you never told her what you knew?
Wow.
Jesus.
As I said earlier, I mean, at this point, you can't tell her anymore. My suggestion would only be to choose to live differently, be more forthcoming if there are things that people that are still here and you feel like there's something that they need to be aware of, don't allow that opportunity to pass again. If you feel like you're keeping secrets from anyone who's still here, then I think it'll be, you know, good to take the opportunity that you still have and have the conversations with those people.
And in regards to this text here, how do you process the pain and the guilt of knowing your mother may have died with a broken heart, especially if you believe stress, betrayal, or your father's infidelity played a role and you never told her what you knew? You don't know what conversations your mother and your father would have had. And
agreed.
You cannot account for your daddy. Your daddy is his own person. And the Bible tells you that the two shall become one. And when he lay his head on his pillow and he tell his wife something and she tells him something, you don't know what communication these two people had. And so you have to separate yourself from that. You are the child.
Correct.
And act as the child, because you can't take on responsibility of your father. He made a vow to your mother, and it's till death do they part.
Agreed.
And if he was dishonest in that, the Lord will deal with him, whether mm-hmm. it's now or tomorrow. We have another caller on the line. Do we? Yes. Texter, go ahead. Good evening.
Hello.
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 Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Boy, something is definitely wrong with Guardian's phone, because you sound way down, late but key.
How am I sounding now?
It's about the same. I think the producer told me that y'all are having challenges since they had those blackouts y'all been having. Sometimes it just goes to mute and you don't hear nothing.
How's this?
But this is Sparky and talking with grief, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes you just tell these stories over and over, but I agree with both of you that you just can't not ever forget. You know, I was a 15-year-old boy when my mother died.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a bartender, which means he was always gone working for Bethel Robinson. He'd leave home 7:30 in the morning and don't come home till 9, 10 o'clock in the night. And by that time, we all done finished our homework and gone to bed. And then my brother went to Howard University to do study of civil engineering. And then my sister was only three of us, and then my sister spent more time with our cousin because she was the only girl. So when she died, that left me alone, putting myself through school, basically, working every weekend and packing groceries to City Meat, every summer working the NASA research shop, learning how to do body and fender, pump gas, all kind of different things to make a dollar, to buy or get uniforms made for the government hike, you know. Mm-hmm. I had to put myself to school when she died at 15. And it wasn't easy. I'm 75 now. After she died, then my father died.
Right.
Then my 15-year-old son, he got dragged 108 feet up Shady Street. He died on a Labor Day.
Wow.
And then my only brother came back, and he died 2 years later of lymphoma. And then my only nephew, he died 2 years after his father of a bad accident on a highway in Gainesville, Florida.
Wow.
Understand.
So I went through these funerals one after one, and I got to the point, like y'all said, I couldn't go to funerals no more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in St. George's kneeling on the altar until I was 19.
Right.
And one morning when I was 19, after I was out of school and working now, at Deltek Bank, and my father came to me and said, what happened, you're not going to church this morning? I said, that's it. I had enough of church. I couldn't go no more.
Right.
I couldn't go to funerals no more. I couldn't see people, dead people in the coffins no more. Mm-hmm. And I still can't do it. When my son was killed, I told them I couldn't go to the morgue. I couldn't go to the funeral home. I couldn't see him no more. Mm. I told the undertakers, when I reached the church and y'all came, let everybody see him. But when I come out of that taxi, close that coffin, let me push him to the front.
Mm-hmm.
I pushed him to the front, and I bent over, and I kissed the coffin. I took my position at the front of the church, and when I looked up, I saw the gentleman that killed my son. That is accident over.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And the lady on the side of me told me, get up. I was walking towards him to beat him in the church.
Oh, boy.
She walked me out of the church. I say, take me to Sydney Point Hill Bridge. I'll walk over the bridge and come back over the old bridge. And trust me, when I reached the top of the bridge, I wanted to jump over.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But some didn't say, no, go to Hammerheads, sit down and have a cold Henneken. And I told a lady friend of mine, come to Hammerheads and tell me when they coming out of that church.
Right.
And when that coffin came, I held onto that coffin till it disappeared.
Wow.
And I went to the nearest bar, and I started just bibbing.
Right.
My mother died as an alcoholic when I was 15.
Right.
She worked two jobs, switchboard operator at night at the Princess Margaret, and secretary in the day at A.B. Malcolm Testigo Gas Station on Bay Street.
Yes, sir.
And when she died, it's like I almost lost it. Mm-hmm. Because I could have never grieved. And in fact, I just put up a brand new picture of her just now in my front room that I had recopied and enlarged.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I look at that picture and my son. And you never, ever get rid of it.
No.
You pray for their, you know, may God keep them in peace till eternity, till I see them again. If there's ever such a thing as seeing anybody again.
If there is such a
most
thing.
Most of my friends now, I'm 75.
Mm-hmm.
Most of all, my Junkaloo friends dead.
Mm-hmm.
My high school friends dead. My neighborhood friends dead. Most of my personal friends and family dead and gone.
Wow.
And I wonder if God just got me here to watch everybody go. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Carla. Thank you. We have some text messages that we want to get through. Sing, Kenny, sing. Ha, ha, ha. Good evening, ladies. I lost my father in 2015, and my mother. My greatest gift to me on July 15th last year. I am forever grateful. I am 66 years, missing them. Joy and hope, Almighty be praised. Thank you. This text reads, good day. No one takes the place of a mother because things left undone are not heeding the advice of mother will definitely have sad cries. Mothers are truly earthly gods, so if you have one today, cherish her forever. Teach your wife to cherish the one, wait, cherish her and teach your wife to cherish the one who loved you even through tough love. Billy Ocean, there will be sad songs to make you cry. Love songs often do. Do we have another caller? Caller, good evening.
Hello.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
We are good. How are you?
It's a good session, but
Thank you.
I was going to say more, but Sparky, you know, I know we were all feeling him and let him say whatever.
Yes.
But, you know, it's been 14 years for me, for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And even to this day, I still miss my mother.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was our advisor. She was our ATM at some point.
Mm-hmm.
She was always there because we lost our father when we were young teenagers, so our mother was there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I think, 2 weeks ago, she was celebrating another birthday, and we put something up, missing you, you know. But, you know, that first Mother's Day after my mom passed, we decided we'd go to the graveyard, and we would just sing some hymns that she loved.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendani, can you guess? When we got to that graveyard, there were so many other families in there celebrating their mothers on that Mother's Day.
Yes.
There were even families having lunch.
Yes.
Just sitting at the grave.
Yes.
And, you know, the tears just fell because you sort of knew what they were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that first Mother's Day was a difficult time.
Yes.
But we went in that graveyard and we celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who still love their mother, I say love on your mother. It's when mom is gone, you miss her. You miss her because even some days I pass the graveyard, things would happen. I say, girl, mommy, you don't know what's going on up in here.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd say, girl, would you believe this happened or not? You know,
mm-hmm.
even like still ever present.
Yes.
But I'm enjoying this session.
Thank you. Thank you. We want to try to make sure that we have the proper conversations, because I think for all of the show is not just Kenny's Corner. It's an opportunity for us to have real conversations. Do we have another caller, Chris? Caller, good evening.
Hi. Good night. How are you?
I'm well, ma'am. How are you?
I'll always be good.
Awesome.
Always. I just want to say in regard to my mom,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be 10 years next year.
Yes.
But my mom is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always have her with me, and she is still here with me.
Okay.
And I tell people that. I always say that. You know, it's like a cliche.
Right.
Because I had my mom cremated.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I have my reasons for having it cremated. But her ashes in a beautiful urn. And I meant it ain't just no box, no nothing. She's in a beautiful white urn.
Yes.
It's big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
And I had her, and let me tell you something. Sometimes I go and I speak with her.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, and ain't nothing wrong with my head, darling.
No.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just have her close. I was her only daughter and last child. I have her close to me.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. Like I say, I have my reasons for doing that.
Right.
I have two older brothers.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's never gone from me. And she loved roses. She planted the roses outside our home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And almost every day, I go and I get off those rose trees. I don't know, and short story, you remember Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
Remember, I don't remember his name, but he always took flowers to her grave. But to her grave,
mm-hmm.
I think he's a, anyway, well, I do that every day with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I say, Mommy, I say, these flowers here, it's a wild rose tree, two wild rose trees that she planted.
Yes.
And they always yielding. I say, Mommy, these are your roses that you planted.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not.
Yep.
And I love that. She is here with me still. And
awesome.
Next year, 2027,
mm-hmm.
10 years.
10
she
years.
Being gone. But she's still here with me.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And these things just keep you. You understand?
Yes, mm-hmm. ma'am.
They just keep me. And she ain't ever gone.
Right.
Anyway, baby, y'all have a good evening.
Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate your call. Thank you. It's amazing. We are 2 and 5 years into our story, but Sparky,
yeah.
I think, is long past us.
Yes.
That lady is 10, and we have other people that have surpassed us in length of time, but it never gets easy. Mm-hmm. I think for me, when I think about loss and the grief, I think even though my mom was in the bed mm-hmm. before she passed, mm-hmm. mommy still managed our family.
Yes.
And mommy still was extremely strong in her continence.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder when your mother goes, whose prayers will cover you? Because there's nobody's prayer like a mother. People, if you when you lose a mother, someone will look at you week, 4, 5, 6 months. But after that, they have a tendency to go on with their lives, especially if your mom passes as a young child.
Yes.
Who then looks after the child, you know?
Yes.
But you have walked the grief process. We are still in the grief process, right? Mm-hmm. What do you tell your kids about your mom?
If you were to ask them about my mother, well, you'd think that they have met her. So my son was only 2 when she passed. He could not say Grammy. He called her Dra. And so when we talk about her, we call her Dra.
Mm.
And we talk about her all the time. And sometimes they just say, Mommy, if Dra was here, she'd be doing this. So I am very intentional about making sure that mm-hmm. they know about their grandmother.
When you think about grief as a woman, do you think that we carry more than just grief? Do you think we carry grief and trauma and depression? Do you think we are functioning depressions?
Yes. For many of us, that's what we're doing. We can't afford to stop.
You mentioned that you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
How does that fit into your regular life? Because, I mean, your son swims.
Correct.
You have a young daughter.
Yes.
You have a husband.
Yes.
So he works on a regular 9-to-5, right. An entrepreneur.
But yes.
Entrepreneurs work around the clock.
Correct.
You realize that?
Correct.
What does that look like for you on any given day?
So that's why I say I journal. So for me, because life keeps going and you're not allowed to simply say, okay, stop the world and let me off.
Right.
You have to figure out how to do what needs to get done. So, you know, tend to the physical needs of my family or whatever, but have to be intentional about taking care of yourself as well and being honest with yourself. Because sometimes, like you say, with your mother, you could, well, for me, I could offload to mommy. I didn't have to hold back any parts of myself. Mm. She was able to take whatever it was. I could just, whereas I might not want to burden my husband with something mm-hmm. because I don't want to worry him.
Right.
Whereas if I was going to mommy, I could just lay it all out.
Right.
Because that's what she was there for.
Right.
So now I feel like, you know, you're kind of like, okay, who can I tell this to? Who can I tell that to? And don't get me wrong, I have a wonderful support system. My aunties, especially, Kenny, when I tell you I win the lottery in terms of family.
Good. I'm happy for you. I absolutely did not.
I have some of the bestest. But at the end of the day, they're still not mommy.
No.
You know, as wonderful and as amazing as they are, they're still not mommy.
I thought for me, right, and some of my girlfriends, well, I don't have many girlfriends. I have a dot in terms of a circle.
Likewise.
And they all went to the graveyard with me last year, Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
They all went with me that morning. Some of mm-hmm. them showed up. I don't even know how they knew I was there, but they
right.
showed up.
Right.
And I thought that when my mom left, that her family would have grieved her more. Because they came to her right. all the time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And maybe everybody grieves differently, but they were her siblings. But
right.
I come out of Donna.
Right.
Okay? And so
correct.
I feel a different type of way.
Correct.
And I also feel like, well, my mother was extremely hard on me. My mother did not slack her ride at all.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Right.
But I thought that they would have treated my mother differently and they would remember March. They
right.
would remember Mommy's birthday in November. I thought that they would remember these things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they would. They call my mother Nikki, right? I thought that they would remember Nikki, but I don't know that they do the way we do. And my girlfriend said to tell me they were her siblings,
right?
And you have to release them because they were her siblings and their relationship was different.
Correct.
And what you holding on to, those people don't even know.
Correct.
But it makes me feel some type of way because When you needed my ma, she show up.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
When y'all say y'all want,
mm-hmm.
mommy showed up.
Mm-hmm.
When y'all say y'all need, mommy mm-hmm. showed up.
Mm-hmm.
My mother out of way.
Yeah.
Everybody's parents have their way. My mother out of way, but you wasn't going to ever wonder what my mommy had to say.
Right.
Either it can be black or it can be white, but you can know what Donna have to tell you.
Right.
And I think, too, after you get a certain age, you realize that I am my mother.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
And I turned 50 and I feel like, okay, well, my mother gone now. So some of y'all who I was sparing in between the cross
yes,
wires,
ma'am.
You could really get it if you say the
yes,
just,
ma'am.
Just
mm-hmm.
tip it
mm-hmm.
and you could get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These are some messages here. This person says, T. George, this is a great segment. Thank you for hosting. Tishka, that is for you. This message reads, grief is rough, but it's necessary. I miss my mommy every day, but I miss her more for the relationship she didn't get to have with my son. He was one.
Yeah.
This message from Tristan Sherman reads, it never goes away. So it never really ends. The grief is compounded by so many other things because you have so much loss.
Yeah.
It never really truly goes away.
Yeah.
Let me read the rest of these text messages, Tish, and mm-hmm. let's see if but before we even get to the rest of the text messages, tell me what you want people to take away from your podcast.
My podcast. So of the Motherless Mother podcast is for women that are navigating motherhood mm-hmm. without their mothers.
Right.
And that could be a physical death. That could be someone where your mother's still alive. It may be health related. She may have dementia or she may not be the mother that you know her to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a mother that it's a complicated relationship. And you never had the kind of mother that you would hear, say, someone like me talk about. Because I've had someone reach out to me and they're like, Tishka, I didn't think that I would listen because my mom and I have a complicated relationship. She mm-hmm. said, but I still got so much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about creating a community
mm-hmm.
and letting people know that while it's lonely, because only you know how you feel, you're not alone.
I want to say this, you know that I am remarried, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before mommy left, mommy knew who Ruben was.
Right.
And mommy said to Ruben, I want you to take care of Cameron.
Right.
Take care of Cameron and I. And mommy never, my first wedding dress
mm-hmm.
was what mommy wanted, Vera Wang, and we wanted a Miracle Mile, and that's what she wanted. And she called daddy and she'd say, Kendall, this is what I spend. And the daddy say, okay, Donna, whatever you say.
Right.
Because that's just how mommy was.
Right.
Mommy run the road.
Right.
And this time when I got married, it was the dress that I wanted.
Right.
But I didn't have anyone to hold my hand.
Yes.
But I did have somebody, you mentioned community, and I know she can't hear this, and I'll probably have to send this to her. But there was this lady that brushes with me in Jonkanoo, and she had posted these beautiful photos. Her and Melissa had posted these beautiful photos. The makeup was immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, who is this lady that you go to?
Yes.
And she said her name is Tammy Gator, and I messaged Tammy, and I said, I want to get in your chair.
Right.
And Tammy went with me to sort out my dress.
Right.
She didn't have to. That isn't what she does.
She's
a makeup artist by profession.
Right.
But she also knew my mommy from the bank.
Because
she worked at Scotiabank, but mommy worked at Barclays.
Okay.
And Tammy went with me, and I said, Tammy, you like this?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you think mommy would like her this look on me?
Mm-hmm.
Tammy went with me.
Yes.
That was my community.
Yes.
I didn't have anybody else.
Correct.
That I would even think of to go with me.
Correct.
But Tammy went.
Yes.
And I will always be grateful for that.
Yes.
And if I call her now and I say, Tammy, I have an issue, I think, what you think?
Yes.
She will listen. She may not answer right away because, of course, she's an entrepreneur as well.
Right.
But she went with me and I said, Tammy, what else the dress need? And she said, Ken, put the thing on the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very instrumental in that when we walked down to the chapel at Bahama,
mm-hmm.
even when we were finished, when we got into the limousine, my husband said, Ken, will we have Tammy? I said, Tammy probably had to do another job, but she probably is going to come.
Yeah.
But that was my community.
Yes.
And then I had Charlene and Nicole and Lynette.
Yes.
And I had Shanae, and they were my family, and I had Noelle.
Yes.
And I remember that morning of the wedding, me calling Noelle. I said, Noelle, I need you to come now. She said, I ain't fully dressed yet, but I on my way.
Yes.
And Noelle was there in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But they are my community.
Yes.
Latrinda and Crystal. And these are the people, Alex, they are in my circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you never really know what your community is going to be like.
Correct.
And grief changes you. And most people know that I am a Junkanoo fanatic, right?
Yeah.
But I could tell you my very first parade after Mommy left, when I walked out on Bay Street, because they hired me to commentate, and I looked over there by the Somalia bus where she would normally sit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see her.
Right.
I didn't see that red beret. I saw my Aunt Joyce. And now keep in mind, that Tommy didn't do my face. And
right.
My face do. My face.
Yes.
But I went to my Aunt Joyce, and she hugged me. She said, Kenny, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because you no longer have
mm-hmm.
that one person. And
mm-hmm.
Mommy was hard on me. Just go, you hear, I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, mm-hmm. raggy to baggy. And this is Mommy wedding's band, you know. This
yeah.
is a part of a wedding band.
Nice.
So the diamond piece, I have a wedding band.
Nice.
And I don't leave home without it anymore. Piece,
mm-hmm.
you know, of her.
Mm-hmm. This is my mom's chain.
You never take it off either.
No.
I wonder if they are proud of us, Tishka.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure that your mom is proud of you.
I think they're proud of us.
Mm-hmm.
It takes mm-hmm. a lot. It takes a lot to be a woman now, you know.
Yeah. And don't take it lightly that we continue going. Because the episode that I released today, we survived the worst possible thing we could have imagined, Kenny.
Your ma, go on.
We survived that.
But
we're still here.
But you know what I want to say too? You mentioned that you have a very good support system.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very good husband.
Yes.
And Ruben.
That's so important.
Ruben allows me to be me, and he understands the grief process.
Yes.
And his parents have been very good to me.
Nice.
And I think that it makes a difference when you have support.
Mm-hmm.
And you, because we can't do it alone.
Oh, definitely not.
And we play team ball. If I wash, she fold.
Right.
If I say, Pom, I need you to pay for the woman this week, because I blow.
Yeah.
You say, Ken, call the woman, let's get it done.
Right.
But we have to play team ball. And I know your husband,
mm-hmm.
he's a good man. You know.
Is.
And yesterday before I got you, I called him. I said, listen, these questions are heavy.
Yeah.
He said, my wife can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I will be listening.
Yeah.
And you have to be grateful when you have men that stand in your corner no matter what.
Indeed.
And Javon, Mr. Moss, I thank you for allowing your wife to be with me today. And your sister-in-law.
Yes.
Your sister-in-law is money. If I call, I say, listen, I need boom, boom, boom. She say, Kenny, come now. She makes sure I get all my things in. I say, listen, I need to get this in.
Yes.
She say, Kenny, come, I got you. You straight. But you have a good support. And
I do.
You know, it's important to have a good system.
Because mm-hmm. one of my friends, I woke up to a WhatsApp message, and it was over 3 minutes of her praying for me today. She said,
really?
Tishka, I know you're going on the radio today. And she prayed. When I tell you, she covered me from head to toe.
Yes.
And I was so grateful, because it's like, you know, I don't have my mother here to pray for me, but a friend remembered, and she did.
The only other person that I know that prays for me is my barber, Miss Debbie, and my Aunt Joyce,
mm-hmm.
and Pastor Cleo Williams. They're the only women that I know of that pray for me. My circle prays for me, but when they are the only people that I could think of that,
yeah.
you know. But when you think of the loss of your mother, it's a lot. It's a lot, and people see you going every day, but they really don't know. And then
no.
entrepreneurship added to it.
Correct.
It's a lot, Tishka.
Correct. And then, like last week's show, when you add the hormone fluctuations and
And the hot flashes and the brain fog.
Exactly.
Well, I don't have the hair loss because I have a bald head, but it's a lot, man.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, Tish. It's a lot.
But we still here, Kenny. We still here.
Yeah, yeah.
We still here.
Yeah, my husband, my Mr. Delaval, my soul provider, I thank you for standing in my corner. And you know, when you said you were single when your first parent passed, but Tish, I look left and I look right in a graveyard. Even when I sat in St. Francis Xavier's Cathedral, and at that time, Reuben and I weren't married yet.
Right.
And I listened to T.D. Jakes, and T.D. Jakes' daughter, Sarah, she said, her father told her that the person that stands beside you when you lower your parent into the ground is that's your person.
That's it.
And Reuben is my person.
We were just laughing on the weekend because my husband knew my mother, right? Not for very long because, long story short, I met my husband through my dad. So it would have only been like maybe they would have known each other for about 5 years, but they were very close. And when my mom passed, we were joking, saying how he carried on so bad in the graveyard. His mommy had to come get him. They were like, hold on, who mommy dead?
Who mommy gone?
But he's been very supportive of, you know, because while he can't understand what I'm going through, because thankfully he's been very supportive and allowing me to grieve in the way that I need to.
And that's what's most important. I think allowing you to grieve, allowing us to grieve is what is most important. And I think when we think about it in the grand scheme of things, you remember certain things, and you remember that these are the people that stood in the gap for you. And one thing that I could remember, and I know people will laugh at it and say, well, all the things you remember, this is what you remember. But the day my mom, we took mommy to St. Francis for the funeral service. It rained so much. We couldn't bury mommy.
Right.
And so I asked Aunt Joyce, I say, Aunt Joyce, Daddy said, well, whatever you decide to do, Kenrell. So I said, Aunt Joyce, what do you think? Aunt Joyce said, we can't put Donna in the ground like that because she'll float up. So I say, Aunt Joyce, what we'll do? She said, let's do it Monday. So we did it Monday. And when we left the church, because it was storming, it was almost like a mini hurricane.
Yeah.
And when we left St. Francis, we got to St. Joseph's where we had the repass, right? I didn't want my mother repassing to be in the back of no yard.
Right.
Taking drink out of the bush and things like that. I wanted my old lady to be fixed up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I wanted centerpieces and I wanted that golden oldies music to
That's
be running.
That's what I'm talking about.
So I had mommy fix up. But when we got to St. Joseph's, even before we got out of the churchyard, there was a message in my inbox from Craig, our backline chairman. He said, Kenny, we can wait on you.
Yeah.
And when we got to St. Francis, when we got on Boyd Road, I saw that Saxon's box van.
That's it.
And I said, my niggas wait on me.
That's it. That's it.
And they rushed and it rained again.
Right.
And they rushed for mommy and we had the music. They had the music locked from the gate. But man, that is one of my fondest memories. Just to, when I passed, when I was under in Boyd Road and I saw that Saxon's box van.
Yes.
And I said, these my boys.
Yes.
And Reuben made sure they had the drinks and food was there and everything was proper. And in the church, you know, Walden and my godson Shandon, they played a medley for mommy. It was more than just Walden and Shandon, it was a group of guys. But those are the things that I remember most. And Tommy again.
Yes.
Tommy had my mother fixed, boy.
That's it.
Tommy had mommy makeup was right. Mommy looked like she was sleeping. My brother say, Kenny, mommy look good, eh?
Yeah,
I say, I know. I look to see.
You look?
I look at the end.
Yeah.
I looked at the end, but there are certain things that you remember, like at Bethel's, I wanted my mother to have a particular, you know, mommy didn't want no camera and she didn't want the casket open and no one, she didn't want those types of things. And I said no photos, but some people were still slick and took photos.
Of course.
And I said, y'all don't touch her. She have on white. Don't put your hand on my old lady, please.
That's it.
Okay? Don't touch mommy.
Yeah.
And my mother was very particular in life and in her living.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my own broom, and I say, we can sweep you. And you just know what she would have wanted.
Correct.
But some of the things that your parents and especially your mother teach you, it stays with you.
Oh, yeah.
You don't leave dishes in the sink.
Correct.
You spend some,
mm-hmm.
and you save some. Mm-hmm. But my mother used to tell me I was cheap, and she said, you was one cheap girl. Don't buy six or something. Don't buy four, buy six, because I'm not going to no more. I said, man, mommy, man.
Yeah.
And one thing I will always remember is whenever we travel and my money started to run out, I ready to go.
Yeah.
She said, are you ready to go tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, boss lady, I ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I want you to tell people about the podcast as we close out today.
So the podcast, you can listen to it anywhere that you can. So there's Apple Podcasts, there's Spotify, if you go to Buzzsprout, it's there also. New episodes come out every Tuesday morning. Like I said, I try not to focus solely on sadness mm-hmm. every week. There's a nice mix. And it's for mothers, whether your mom died before you were pregnant, while your children were young, while you were a big gray woman, it doesn't matter. Because if your mommy died when she was 86, it still hurts. You'd still want to hear. So it's really for women that, and even for those, like I said, I was pleasantly surprised to hear from a number of women whose mothers are still alive. And they say, you know what, Tishka, I'm so happy I listened, because I'm now more intentional with the time that I do have with my mommy. I consider it, don't take it for granted.
You better consider it a gift.
For me, I was telling someone earlier today that this podcast, while it started out as me wanting to provide a safe space for people to feel that they're not alone, is also personal for me, because when you lose your mother, you are full of how quickly life can change. And let's say, God forbid, I'm not around to see my grandchildren, because if my children wait long like me, I will be very old.
Well, I see the line blinking. Chris, we have time to take this call? Chris says yes.
Okay, let's go.
Good evening, caller. You're on. Hello? Good evening, caller. You're on. That, I guess a person left. But go ahead.
Yeah. So if, let's say, you know, I do not live to see my grandchildren, my children will have this podcast and my grandchildren will hear my voice and they'll learn about their grandmother as well as their great grandmother. So it's more about legacy.
It is about legacy, yes.
And passing it down, because I was 22 when my grandmother passed. I only knew one grandmother well, because the other one died when I was about 8. But the other one, that my maternal grandmother, Kenny, I miss her terribly. I could still picture her and see her. And, you know, so it's, life doesn't stop just because we lose someone. And it's not just for here and now, it's for
Eternity.
It
looks like our caller is back.
Okay.
Let's see if, I can't see anything because I took my glasses off. Chris, wave if we can. Yeah. Caller, good evening.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Great, thank you. I'm just calling to congratulate Tishka,
aww,
who is one of our Blue Wave Swim parents.
Aww.
Tuned in and locked in for the entire show, and I enjoy every minute of it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, if nobody else is praying for her, and I'm sure there are people because her husband is a praying man, everyone from Blue Wave is, and we support her 100%.
Aww, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Is that our last caller, Chris? Yes, that is our last caller. Oh, wait, the lines are... that's it? Okay. Tish, give us that information one more time before we close out.
So, the Motherless Mother podcast, you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, anywhere that their podcast is listed there. And they come out every Tuesday. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do so at hello@themotherlessmother.com.
And I want you to start, when you post these things online, to make it shareable, Tishka.
Yeah, man, that's a terrible habit I have.
Because I keep saying to you, please make shareable.
Yes, I have to develop that habit. Forgive me.
I can blame you.
Please.
This is the last time.
Thanks.
Thank you. This is the last time. Ladies and gents, you've been listening to Kenny's Corner. This is Kendanique Delavaux. It has been a very, 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 very rough show for me today.
You did well.
Yeah, I held it together, man. I held it together.
You did very well.
Yes. This is another opportunity that if you not only have a loved one, to hold on to that person just a little bit tighter, but for those of you that still have your mom, for those of you that still have your mom, I admonish you to whatever it is that you haven't forgiven her for, whatever it is that you think you should have had to release that, because you don't get a second chance,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get a second chance. So love on your mom. We will not pass this way again.
Mm-hmm.
So cherish the moments that you have, because once they are gone, they are gone. And I want you to understand that you will never be the same person ever again.
Never.
And so you've been listening to Kenny's Corner here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And I have to turn back, as strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dream. Tell me, can't explain it. Who can tell you why? Fools give you room. Wise men never try. Oh, oh, I. Never let her go.
you've been listening.